This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. Welcome to Enterprise, and you're on Open for Business. Now, there's our fair share of ride-hailing apps here in Malaysia. I think at last count, there was 20-plus. A few things, though, we seem to be lacking is that there doesn't seem to be many carpooling apps, and perhaps there's reason for that, and I think that's something we're going to explore a little bit today. In the studio with me, I have Terence Zhou. He's the CEO of Ride Technologies. It's a carpool app based originally in Singapore. Now they are expanding into Kuala Lumpur, Hong Kong, Sydney, and, of course, their home base of Singapore. Hi, Terence.
Good morning, Richard. Thanks for having me here in the studio.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for joining us. Of course, you had your launch yesterday. How did that go?
Oh, that was great. We had a great launch. There was a lot of media coverage on our launch and our proposition. I guess people are excited, you know, for us coming here. We have launched carpooling in Singapore 4 years ago, and very happy and very excited to bring it over here to Malaysia, and in particular Kuala Lumpur first.
I'm sure there were plenty of questions for you yesterday, were there?
Yeah, definitely. It was a long, tiring day, but we had a great fun.
Unfortunately, I'm going to give you some more questions today, so I hope you'll bear with me for just a few minutes.
Sure.
So what inspired you to start a carpooling app first?
Yeah, it's to do with my personal experience. I've been driving for a long time, close to 20 years. And when I started out, the reason why I bought a car when I was working in the Navy back in Singapore then was because my workplace was about 25 kilometers away from home. And you're taking a taxi every day would cost me about $35.
Right. Yep.
And that's not very workable. Mm. And if taking a bus and then a train would take me about 2 hours. So
I didn't realize Singapore was that big.
Yeah, because
that's a joke.
Because the naval base was in a far-flung area in the west of Singapore.
Yeah.
So I had to get a car. I had no choice.
Right.
You know, if there was a carpooling app available, you know, I thought that would have been a very good idea.
Okay. So I want to touch upon an issue, I think, with carpooling and here in Malaysia in particular. I mean, we have a few apps available here that offer a carpooling service or under a different name, perhaps. And I have used it exactly once. And the reason that I've only used it once is because I suppose I have a trust issue. And when already I'm getting into a vehicle, if I hire, for example, somebody from a ride-hailing app, I'm already getting into a vehicle with a stranger. And if I'm getting into a carpool, that's potentially three other strangers or maybe even four other strangers. How do you convince people like me to use a service like yours?
Yeah, that's a great question. In fact, my parents used to tell me never get into a stranger's car.
Right.
Right. So that was, some time ago. But I guess, you know, in the new new millennials, you know, with the younger people and the demographic, I think they're more open to the concept of sharing. I mean, we have no problems inviting strangers into a house through Airbnb.
True.
And, you know, I think this is just a, sort of an education and opening up the just a mindset issue. I think the millennials, from what we have seen from our experience in Singapore, that the younger generation are pretty open to the concept of sharing, and also pretty savvy with the technology and the handphone. Of course, on our platform itself, we also have taken various measures to enhance the safety issue. So, for example, all drivers are verified with their national ID, their driving license, their insurance before they sign up.
Right.
So that is on the paper verification side. And then we also have a very robust rating and review system where after the end of each trip, the riders and the drivers will rate each other.
So that's what I was going to ask you later. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's how it works.
Yeah. We found that that has been pretty good because the ratings and the reviews given by our members in our community are pretty spot on, you know. And we will not hesitate as well to suspend any rogue drivers or members in our platform for any infractions. And of course, going forward, we also have steps to enhance safety. We are not yet verifying riders' identification yet, but there are various steps that we can do in the future to enhance safety on a platform for all.
Okay, talk me through what it's like as a new user and registration and first-time use of the app. How can you walk me through that process?
Yeah, so we just launched yesterday. You just have to go to the iOS or the Android store, right? Look for Ride, R-Y-D-E, download the app. It's very easy. You just put in your mobile number because a mobile number is essential for the riders and drivers to contact each other, and your email, and then you're through. Right. So right now, once you're in the app, supposing you're going to work at tomorrow morning, you know, at 9, you could input your requests into the app from your start location, your home, I presume, to your workplace. And then the drivers will do it vice versa also. So we will try to match both riders and drivers. Basically, we'll try to look for people in our living in a neighborhood or in vicinity, and matching them together, you know, on the same commute route.
Right. So essentially people who are heading in the same direction might be willing to take a slight detour to pick somebody up on the way.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. How is your service then different from the other competitors that already exist here in Malaysia? There's an awful lot of noise out there right now, especially. Mm. There's one company, as you know, who arguably to Malaysians have a bit of a monopoly on the market right now. How would you stand out from somebody like that?
Yeah, so there are many couple nights before that have launched, you know, and to a certain degree of success or not. And then also other e-hailing apps. I guess carpool is very different from e-hailing. E-hailing, the driver is driving for the company.
Right.
The company, you know, is taking the earnings and then taking a commission, a cut. And then basically when someone requests for a ride, the company assigns a driver to the rider who has requested for the ride.
Right.
Whereas for a carpool, it's a more community-based system, where we try to match. The drivers are not actually driving for us. We're an open platform where we take zero commission in our launch in Malaysia. And we try to match through our algorithms, riders and drivers heading in the same way, and then to defray the cost of the trip.
Okay, so already you said something there that kind of piqued my interest, that you take zero commission. How are you making money?
So in Singapore, we have a more full-fledged service. We have carpooling, private hire taxis, and we do take a 9 to 10% commission in our system back in Singapore. But for Malaysia, we are just we're launching just purely the carpool service, and we are doing it with zero comps. So we will try other ways to monetize from the transactions and the ridership that we potentially going to have. That could come in the forms of company sponsorships, because a lot of companies are big on CSR. They want to champion the Go Green, you know, improve esprit de corps between their colleagues. So they might support carpooling and fund it. And there are also things like marketing revenue, advertising that we could put into the app, and then we could monetize through other ways. And of course, we will collect the data and see whether to launch other services at the appropriate time.
Would you say then that KL for the time being is a bit of a loss leader for you? Are you doing it more to kind of test the market to see whether or not you should launch your full-on services?
Yeah, no, we are committed to Malaysia. We have done our homework. We've collected the data. You know, there's close to 10 million cars in Malaysia. 93% of households own a car, or at least one car. you know, and this congestion. So when there's cars, a lot of cars and congestions, carpooling would be a good place to launch in a particular city like KL.
Okay. At that point, we're going to take a short break. When I get back, I think I want to talk to you a little bit about stuff like the PSV licensing, which, of course, is a big issue right here in Malaysia as well, how you're performing down in Singapore, and how you're kind of engaging with communities and that kind of thing. Ladies and gents, you are tuned into Enterprise here on Open for Business on BFM 89.9. I'm in the studio with Terence Zhou, the CEO of Ride Technologies. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. Welcome to Enterprise. My name is Rich Bradbury, and this, of course, is Open for Business. If you're only just joining us, in the studio with me right now is Terence Zhou. He's the CEO of Ride Technologies. They are a carpool app that's just launched here in Malaysia. It's available for downloads right now in both the Apple Store and Google Play. Official launch of services is November 1st, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
So earlier on, we spoke about what inspired you to start the carpooling app. We've touched upon how it works and how it's different from some of the other players in the market right now. Now, of course, and I'm sure you have been aware of the discussions that have been happening here in Malaysia recently about licensing and regulation that's come here in Malaysia quite heavily over the last few months. Will the ride pool drivers need to obtain the same licenses, or will they need any kind of special permits or anything?
Yeah, so I understand the regulations in this particular sphere. I think we also have that in Singapore, in the private hire, the taxis and the carpooling, whereas there it's lightly regulated for the carpooling side of things. One thing I want to stress is that the carpooling is actually a not-for-profit model, right? Riders essentially pay for the cost contribution towards the trip. So no drivers can actually earn a profit by carpooling.
Right.
Right. So that is the fundamental difference between a taxi driver and someone who carpools. I mean, we actually do carpool on a daily basis, you know, your colleagues catching a ride home.
And you're giving them 10 ringgit towards the petrol.
Or you're buying him a coffee tomorrow morning. Yeah. So we just basically formalize this particular process, make it a bit easier, a bit more convenient for you to find that match.
Yeah.
Because carpooling, it's not a new idea. It's been around.
It's
been around for a long while. And governments, even Singapore government, the Malaysian government has once upon a time pushed heavily on carpooling.
Mm.
It's just that I think the technology and the payment system and the GPS were not ready for this for carpooling to take off. So essentially, it's a not for profit model. And here in Malaysia, in our launch, we only launching the cash part of the carpooling, so we do not take any commissions. We don't even collect any cash. We just merely
facilitate
the match, and then we recommend the economic cost towards the cost contribution. That's all we display.
I noticed in the app as well, there's the option to add more money if you want to contribute a little bit more. Perhaps the chances of you being picked up would increase if you're offering more money as well.
Yeah,
that's normal, right?
Yeah, that is a system that we had on our platform. That's an innovative system where, just in case because riders would stand to save up to 50% of their fares by carpooling rather than taking taxis.
Mm.
So if they find that our fares are unreasonably low or the cost contribution is low, you want to buy him a coffee and a bagel.
Yeah.
You know, we provide that option for you
right.
to up the bit just by a little bit.
So tell me about how things are down in Singapore then. How well are you doing down there? And what are your expansion plans? And maybe, if you feel comfortable, where did the money come to launch the product as well? I mean, was this a kind of labor of love for you? Did you have angel investors come on board? If you feel comfortable, feel free to share.
Sure. I started off, of course, with angel investing, and then we had strategic also put money in us, you know, because they believe in what we are doing. We have raised close to $10 million to date. But our model is very different. We're not in here to burn money, throw incentives,
right,
buy the drivers over. I believe that we should build a sustainable business with a sustainable model, right? Some, as you said, you know, companies have come and gone. You know, we want to be here
right,
for the longer term, yeah, you know, in a sustainable manner. So I think that is one of the way that we run things.
In Singapore then, how are things going down there?
Right. So in Singapore, of course, we started off with carpooling. At the start, it was difficult to get a match, you know, because you need a certain critical mass.
Yeah.
So we have plans to get at least 5,000 drivers to sign up onto the platform by the end of the year here in KL. So you need a certain critical mass to get good matches. So I at least for the last few years, we have sort of sorted out that issue. We have got a good critical mass. So right now, the match rate is close to 80%.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, to get a match.
And how many drivers have registered in Singapore?
So we have close to 25,000 carpool drivers registered. So that's about 5% of the private car market. There's about 500,000 cars in Singapore. So I think a 10 to 20% penetration, right, as carpooling as part and parcel of one's life, should be an achievable target going forward. I think in a more complete transportation system, that should be a mixture of buses, trains, taxis, and carpool that would actually complement and complete
yeah,
the system.
Yeah.
Because after all, carpool is a lowest cost point-to-point travel option.
Right. Okay, so we've touched upon, I wanted to ask you originally about safety, but we've already touched on that earlier on. Let's talk about then how you're engaging with communities. Mm. Tell me a little bit about that. Because, I mean, you said that you want to develop, you want it to be a sustainable business model, and I assume by sustainable, you mean it twofold, you know. You have an idea of it's greener.
Yes.
And you want to remain here, right? Tell me about how you're interacting with communities.
Yeah, I guess if a person, the average person who carpools, you know, does 15 kilometers in a trip, and he reduces carbon by about 181 grams, so if he couples every day, theoretically a year, he could cut down carbon emissions by 2,500 kilograms. So I guess that idea, you know, resonates with some people. You know, they understand that just
it's a growing,
buying more cars.
It's a growing number of people that's going to resonate.
Exactly.
With.
You know, there must be another way forward right? Instead of buying more cars, having more cars, you know, zooming around the cities empty. So I guess that, for one, you know, for a big proportion of people who support carpooling, I think that the idea resonates with them. And of course, in our app, we also have a referral program. So we focus on the organic growth of things. You know, you're happy with what we are doing, you refer a friend, you get a bit of bonus points, you know, and then there's sort of a little incentives to get you to spread the word. So we've built that into the app itself. And also among the driver communities, as well, it's a pretty close knit group. They meet, you know, each other for coffee sessions, makan sessions. And they also have Telegram groups and WhatsApp groups. And you know, I see, you know, sometimes I'm also in one of those groups. And you know, you see a driver, he got a tire puncture in the middle of the expressway. He calls for help, and you know,
four or five people go
to pick him up. You know, and then there's ones. I also see messages like, "Oh, you know, he was carpooling someone, and then the car broke down, and he asked for his friend to come and help, you know, to get the person to continue that journey." So I guess, it is a very, you know, it's a very social.
Yeah,
it redefines the social experience. I think it's better than we take a train home, we look at our phones and watch the latest Korean drama. You know, why don't you carpool with someone and have a good, decent conversation, you know, at the end of the day, get to know someone.
The art of conversation is disappearing rapidly, you know, and something like this. I mean, as much as I said earlier on that, you know, I have issues getting in cars with people I don't know, you may have noticed I talk a lot, you know, and part of and parcel of doing something like carpooling is engaging people in conversations and becoming social again, right?
Yeah. You know, some drivers, you know, they, you know, people who work 9 to 5, they don't get to talk much, you know, at the end of the start of the day or the end of the day, right? They got to chat with someone, build a relationship, right? A business or social one. And then that can, it doesn't change the world, but you know, it just changes him in a small little way.
Yeah.
You know?
I've got one or two final questions for you just before I let you go. I noticed that when I downloaded the app here, there was a couple of options. Of course, there's a carpool option. Mm. And then there's Ride Pet. Mm. And now I said to you off air that I thought that was a great idea because there's very few services here in KL that offer the option of being able to take a pet with you in a vehicle. And when they are offered, they tend to be very expensive services. Why did you choose to do this?
Mm. Yeah, great question. So that's part of our continuous innovation as we see how we can create more services from our base carpooling service. And then we trial run this in Singapore and then we found out that actually pet lovers, drivers, and riders alike, you know, they bonded pretty well via the Ride Pet service because some of us have dogs or cats and we need to move around the city and it's very inconvenient. Mm. Some taxi drivers don't really like taking pets.
For sure, yeah.
And there's some people who don't like taking pets for various reasons and we can respect that.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're also, we are just basically matching a very niche community. You know, there are driver who are dog lovers or cat lovers,
and they'll themselves. Go out of their way to collect somebody.
Yeah,
who has a dog.
And then we have a wonderful story of conversations. You know, they exchange tips.
Right.
You know, when two dog or two animal lovers get together, right? They got a lot of common topics to talk about. So yeah, we found that was a very very successful niche product, and a lot of pet shows, you know, pet events, sometimes they ask us to go down, you know, and provide that particular service for them. Mm. Yeah, and then it's an opt-in service. I mean, if you are really into pets, right, you could feel free to download our app and then make use of that service to meet other fellow pet lovers.
Brilliant. Terence, thank you very much for your time today. Absolute pleasure. Good luck with everything here in Malaysia. I'm sure it's going to be fine.
Thank you, Richard, for having me.
Pleasure. Right, ladies and gentlemen, you have been tuned in to Open for Business here on Enterprise on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.